starting a new sermon series this week. It's a short sermon series called Help My Unbelief. Have you ever found yourself in a state of unbelief? Have you ever found yourself in a state of, God, what are you really up to? Have you ever found yourself in a state of discouragement? And so that's what we want to address in this sermon series called Help My Unbelief. And so as you are standing, as we do, go ahead and bring out your Bibles, your tablets, your iPhones, your Androids, your iPads, whatever that you read the Word of God from. Turn to the book of Matthew, the 11th chapter, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 3 to get us started, and we're going to see what the word of the Lord has to say today. If you have it, say, I have it. If you don't have it, say, hold up. There is no hold ups in the house today. Amen. All righty. Let's read. It says, when Jesus had finished giving orders to his 12 disciples, he moved on from there to teach and to preach in their towns. When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent a message by his disciples, and he asked this question. Please underline, highlight this, do whatever that you need to do. John asked his disciples to go ask Jesus this very important question. He says, are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? So let's go ahead and read our mission statement, and we're going to get started. As you know, we are confessing our mission statement as a church. We're going to confess it until God manifests it in our heart and we see it manifested in this church. So all together, let's read it. Let's read it with passion. Let's read it with emphasis. 1, 2, 3. Connect Church exists to make disciples of Jesus Christ who love God, love people, and impact the world. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, God, for this gathering today, God. Thank you for our time, God, of worship, our time of praise, and God, our time of fellowship and teaching. And so, God, I pray that you inhabit our time together today, God. I pray, God, that as we enter in this new sermon series, God, I pray that this word today falls on the good soil of our heart, not on the stony places and not on the rocky places, but on the good soil of our hearts. Why, God? So that this word can bring back a harvest, God. I pray that this word doesn't fall, God, in the stony or the rocky places of our heart, but that it germinates, God, and brings back a harvest. And God, here I stand, your servant, God, standing here to proclaim your word today. God, I ask you to do one thing today, and that is to wear me like a glove. Use me, God, for the very intents and purposes that you created me for, and that is to make your name great. And so, God, we just give you praise, glory, and honor. We invite the Holy Spirit to come in and just rest, rule, and reign in our hearts today. In Jesus' name we pray. Somebody say amen as you take your seat. Have you ever found yourself in that position? Have you ever felt the way Sonny felt? Have you ever felt like, God, I don't know what you're doing, what you're up to, God? Have you ever just really, and I know it's probably sacrilegious to say this, but have you ever just been mad at God? Have you ever just not understood what God was doing? And have you ever been in a position where not only did you not understand what God was doing, but you didn't understand what your role was in this? God, why am I here? God, what are you doing? Wouldn't it be so much easier if Jesus would just come and do what we expect him to do? Wouldn't that be a perfect world if God just did everything that we expected him to do? Can I have a show of hands? Would that make your life easier if God just did everything that we expected him to do? But you know, the enemies of our faith is those times when we struggle with discouragement, doubt, and downright unbelief. We must deal with these feelings, these times. And I know for some of us, we even have this thought is, can I even take my questions? Can I even take my doubts? Can I boldly take them to God? So here we have John the Baptist. John the Baptist. This is the same John the Baptist that baptized Jesus. This is the same John the Baptist that proclaimed that Jesus was the way and told crowds, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of this world. This is the same John, but John finds himself now in a prison cell. Here he is in prison, because he stood up to Herod Antipas and told him that it was unlawful for Herod to marry his brother's wife, Herodias. So John is in prison because he stood up and proclaimed the righteousness of God. This is the same John that when John was in his mother's womb, when John was in the womb and Jesus was in Mary's womb, they both came into a place together, and the Bible records that this John right here, the Bible says that when John and Jesus in the womb came together, the Bible says that John leaped in Elizabeth's womb just at the very thought of Jesus. John had been called from the womb to proclaim Jesus Christ. But today our text offers a very different view of John. Today John has gone from being a proclaimer to a prisoner. And he's a prisoner with a question. Today he's gone from being a proclaimer. So how did he go from being a proclaimer to a prisoner with a question? John is in this jail cell, secluded from everyone else. And John is being assaulted in his mind with these thoughts and these accusing thoughts and these horrible thoughts that are going on in John's mind while John is locked up in a jail cell. You see, John was a man, John today would be considered an outdoorsman. John would be the guy that's always at the lake fishing. He's always in a tree stand somewhere hunting. He's always trying to discover new things to eat in nature. John would be the type of guy that could make a fire anywhere out of anything. But John finds himself today locked away in a prison cell with just his thoughts. Have you ever found yourself that way? Just locked away, not in a physical prison cell, but in a prison of your mind, alone by yourself. Can I subscribe to you? That's why most people don't like to be alone, because they don't like being alone with their thoughts. Some people have to keep noise going. And this is something that my wife has helped me with. Is she's always on me about when we're in the car, why do I have to ride in the car with something on? Can you just ride in the car in just silence? But here is John in this prison cell. Change of scenery, change of environment. And he's having these horrible thoughts. And so this made me ask myself this question as I was preparing this. What changed between the comfort of the womb and the confinement of prison? What was it that would cause John to change when he was in the comfort from the time he was in Elizabeth's womb to now? What changed? If you would look again with me at verse 3. John has this question. He says, "Are you the one who is to come? Or should we expect someone else?" Man, I love that question because it identifies the problem that John is struggling with. And the problem that John is struggling with is something that all of us struggle with from time to time. Do you really want to know what John is struggling with right now? Do you really want to know what John is struggling with right now? Thank you. John is struggling with, catch this, unmet expectations. Unmet expectations. You see, John's idea of what Jesus was coming to do looks different from what John is seeing, because John is now in a prison cell, and it's causing John to even doubt if what he's been proclaiming all this time, is it even true? And I love this HCSB version of the Bible, because it says it like this. I mean, it just clearly just lays John's thoughts out. It says, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" You see, John is struggling with trying to confine, even though he's confined, he's trying to confine Jesus' role, what Jesus came for, he's trying to confine it to his expectations. And when someone doesn't meet our expectations, what does it cause us to do? It causes us to question. Some of us who are married can identify with it. Some of us, we got married expecting one thing and you get something else. Some of us got married and said, man, I was expecting you to do the laundry every day and fold up your clothes neatly and put them away neatly, but what I'm getting is your underwear all over the floor and your socks everywhere. That's not what I expected when we got married. And when we come to Christ, we come to Christ with these expectations. Some of us come to Christ expecting that man, since I've raised my hand, since I've confessed Jesus Christ as my Savior, man, I won't have no more problems for the rest of my life. Unmet expectation. Some of us come to Christ and think, man, when I come to Christ, I'm going to find a husband, I'm going to find a wife, man, and we're going to live happily ever after. Man, we're going to raise our kids are going to be disciples, our kids are not going to do anything wrong, they're just going to be so good. I mean, they're just going to be these awesome kids. These unmet expectations. Because for me, I can tell you this. I expected that my youngest son would be in his fourth year in the NFL right now. He would be getting prepared to finish up his first NFL contract, leading into his second. I would have probably just got back from the Pro Bowl. I mean, these are my expectations. I mean, that's my son. I mean, that's what I expected. But my son made a decision to not even pursue the NFL. How do you deal with these unmet expectations? Here's the thing, can I ask you this? Are your expectations aligned with God's divine plan? Are your expectations aligned with God's plan? I know you graduated from college and you got a 4.0 and you thought that you were going to go down this road, but God is leading you down this road and you don't understand why. Have you ever asked yourself, how did I get here? John, I can guarantee you, it doesn't say it in the text, but I can guarantee you, John is sitting in that cell saying, man, how did I get here? I'm proclaiming Jesus Christ. I got to baptize my Savior. I got to baptize Jesus myself. How did I go from baptizing Jesus to a prison cell? And then on top of that, it doesn't even record that Jesus even went to visit John. At least Jesus could have came to see him. At least, I mean, he's Jesus. He could have put some on his. His books. I mean, I'm just saying, these are just questions. I mean, these are expectations that John had. But then here's the thing. What happens when we do the right thing and we get the wrong outcome? We have to talk about this as believers. What happens when I'm showing up, I'm doing everything that God has called me to do? I'm serving, I'm tithing, I'm showing up for events, I'm even helping out with the kids. I mean, what happens when I'm doing the right thing, but I'm getting the wrong outcome? Can I share this with you today? Sometimes if God doesn't meet our expectations, often we're too quick to question God before we question ourselves. When things don't go the way that we think they should go, God, why? I know, and I sure hope that you don't mind me using this example, Pops, but there's no way that you could tell me that Pop Samples expected to be without his wife of 56 years now. That wasn't even in the cards. And if I know Pops, he expected to probably go first. What happens when you suddenly find yourself single again after a lifetime of being with somebody? How do you deal with that as a believer? I was talking to Tammy Brown. Who's come through those church doors all the time with Chris. Now Tammy has to find a way to walk through those doors again without the husband that she loved. How do you deal with that? And I believe that we've done a poor job as a church in helping and equipping believers to deal with these unmet expectations. We can no longer afford to just sweep stuff under the rug. Oh, you know, everything's gonna be okay. No, we have to deal with that. We have to deal with these unmet expectations, these things that happen to us unexpectedly. And you know, we can't look at John with side eye because he's locked up in a cell. You know, we have a tendency to look at people that have spent time in prison with some kind of side eye. But can I tell you this? You might not be locked up physically, but some of us are locked up emotionally and we're locked up spiritually. You're in a prison of your mind and you won't let go. If somebody gave you the key, you're so stuck. I think in prison terms, I think it's called recidivism. Where people will get free and go right back in. Some of us have been freed, but then we turn right back around because it's so comfortable for us to be locked up in the prison of our minds. Of woe is me and nobody loves me. We're locked up in our minds. But here's the thing. John not only struggled with unmet expectations because he was locked up in prison, but if you read verses 4-5, it says this. It says, Jesus replied to them, "Go and report to John what you hear and what you see." Man, I wish I could preach this like I feel it. The blind see, the lame walk, those with skin diseases are healed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised. And please underline this. I can't deal with this one right now, but the last part of verse 5 have just been wrecking my brain. It says, and the poor are told the good news. I really can't deal with that right now, but there are some physical Ooh, I don't even want to start on that right now. But the poor are told the good news. I'm going to come back to that one another time. So here's the thing. Not only is John struggling with unmet expectations, but John's confinement is distorting his view. I don't know if you've ever been to prison, if you've ever been to jail for speeding tickets or whatever. Don't, please don't raise your hand. When you're in prison, when you're in jail, when you're locked up, it distorts your view. And this is what John is struggling with. John is struggling with, man, what is Jesus doing? Is he doing what I proclaimed him to do, or what is he doing? I can't see right now. And I like what the text says. The text says, here's the thing. If you look at Jesus' response, it tells you a whole lot. What Jesus said was, he said, go and tell John everything that you hear and that you see. Why? Because sometimes when we are locked up in the confinement of our minds, we can't always see what we need to see. And Jesus told John's disciples, go tell John, since he can't see, since John's view is distorted, go tell John all that you hear and all that you see. Because when we are in prison, and when we imprison ourselves, we have a narrow view of who God really is and what he can do. Do you really believe that Jesus can do what he says he could do? Is this is not the Bible, but it has a Bible app on it, okay? Do you really believe the words of this Bible? Do you really believe that God can do all the things that he says that he can do? Do you really believe it even when you can't see it? You see, I'll share this with you. As I'm sitting over there getting prepared to preach, I have to work on the things I see. See, I don't see this auditorium as it is now. You see, I see this auditorium full because God helped me with this a long time ago. He said, Aleem, I want you to preach. If it's 550 or 500, I want you to preach the same. And so I see 500 in here. I see this place full. Why? Because I know that God is able. I know that he can do it. But sometimes we only see what our eyes see, and we don't see through the eyes of God. See, we sing these songs about nothing is impossible, but do you really believe it, or is it just a song? Can you see beyond what you see? Can you see your husband? Can you see your wife beyond where they are now? I thank God that I had a wife that saw something in me that I didn't even see in myself. When I was trying to act a fool, she told me, she said, I'm praying for you because I see more in you than what you see in yourself. Our spiritual counselors told her spiritual counselor, when we went through counseling, my wife's spiritual counselor told her, your husband is going to do this, he's going to do that, and she couldn't even see it because I was doing all the opposite. But I thank God that she saw in me, she had a view not of where I was, but what I was capable of. And that's the view that we need to have as believers. We need to know beyond a shadow of a doubt, and it has to be more than a song, that, man, our views can't get distorted based on where we are and what we currently see. But see, some of us, anytime we get knocked down, anytime anything bad happens, we want to fall out, fall down, and start crying. I never knew there was so many blues and country western singers that were believers in my life. You say, what do you mean? Blues and country western singers, and y'all do know that they're both the same, right? Blues and country and western is all the same. They all singing sad songs about something and somebody and something, somebody that did something to them or something. It's all the same. It's just a different. I'm gonna act like I'm musically inclined. It's all keys. I mean, it's all, you know, just a certain keys and the notes, right? But John is in this unfamiliar territory, being in prison. And here he is, locked up in prison with these unmet expectations. And he has this distorted view of what Jesus came to do. If you would, look with me at verse 6. And it says, and if anyone is not offended because of me, he is blessed. As these men went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds, check this, about John. I think I'm going to read that part again. As these men went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. Now, understand this and follow along. John sends his disciples to Jesus to ask him a very pertinent question. And it was a question that tested the character. It tested everything about Jesus. John sent his disciples to ask him this hard-hitting question. Say, Jesus, are you the one? And he didn't even stop there. He says, or should we look for another? Jesus' first response was, go tell John everything that you hear and everything that you see. And now, as we go further down in the text, the text says that Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. So let's see what Jesus has to say about this man that just asked him this very pertinent question that challenges his character and his very existence. It says, what did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed swaying in the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothes? Look, those who wear soft clothes are in kings' palaces. But what did you go out to see? A prophet. Yes, I tell you, and far more than a prophet. This is the one it is written about. Look, I am sending my messenger ahead of you. He will prepare your way before you. Don't you just love Jesus' response? To our questions, he responded to John's question. He didn't respond in anger. He didn't respond with contempt. He didn't respond in anger. what Jesus began to do was he began to assure John of who he was and where he and his importance to the kingdom. Jesus assured John by speaking to the crowd that all that he had done was worth it. It says here, verse 11, I assure you, among those born of a woman, no one greater than John the Baptist has appeared. Okay, y'all didn't get that because somebody should have shouted right there. He says, I assure you, among those born of a woman, no one is greater than John the Baptist has appeared. What does that tell you? What that tells me is that, believers, we can bring our questions, we can bring our doubts, we can bring our struggles of unbelief. We can bring them to God. Why? Because God is going to speak good things about us. Why? Because God does not see us where we are. He sees us as we are going to be. Some of us think that we can't come to God with our questions. Can I tell you this? You can come to God with your questions. He can handle it. He can handle any question that you have. God can handle your toughest questions. And why can he handle it? Because God is going to reassure in you what he reassured in John is, and that is there's greatness within you. See, some of you don't believe that, and some of you let some of these TV evangelists get you to distort your view when somebody says that there is greatness within you. I didn't say there was greatness within you. The Bible says that there is greatness inside of you. It says, I assure you among those born of a woman, no one is greater than John the Baptist has appeared. Keep going. But the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Not only was John the Baptist, was there greatness in John, but there's also greatness in you. Even when we doubt, even when we disbelieve, even when we are discouraged, there is greatness inside of us. And I'm going to tell you, what these doubts and uncertainty should do is it should draw us closer to God. Because when you come to him with your questions, he's going to start to reveal more of who we are, who he is. Man, I tell you, I never knew that I could bring my questions to God. Some of you probably feel the same way. I know with everything's going on in social media and everybody feels like they've graduated from the school of theology of YouTube now, and everybody has an opinion. Here's the problem, and I hope that we as a church get away from this. There is something in biblical study called exegesis. And what exegesis is you take the time to go into the text of God and you pull out, you extract God's word. That's called exegesis. That's exegetical study. We need to get in the habit of doing our own exegesis and not just believing what the world says about Jesus. What the world says about Christianity. Do your own research. Read God's word. God's word is going to affirm his word. He's going to affirm himself in this word. But so many times when we come to Jesus with doubts and discouragement and unbelief, we allow those times to push us away from God instead of drawing us closer to God. And so I hope during these next 3 weeks as we deal with unbelief, what I'm really wanting you to get from this, I'm really wanting to strengthen your faith. Has anybody ever walked with you and taught you how to strengthen your faith? You know, it's easy for somebody to walk up to you and tell you, just trust God. You know, God is able. Yeah, all that sounds good and that's cute, but how do I do that? How do I trust God in my times of unbelief? How do I, as the old folks used to say, hold on to God's unchanging hand? Well, his hand seems like it's changing a lot for me right now. How do I deal with that? And so that's what I want us to walk through these next 4 weeks is, man, how do I draw closer to God in my times, in my seasons, when I'm struggling with unbelief? When I'm struggling with unmet expectations? When I'm struggling with, just like the guy says, God, I want to hear from you. God, tell me something. I mean, God, what's going on? What do you do in those times when God is silent? What you do in those times is you dive deeper into God's word. You don't go deeper. See, we go introspectively. And we start examining ourselves. What did I do wrong? Well, you know, well, I think that my grandmother, she used to struggle with this when she was a kid. And, you know, the Bible says that curses go 7 generations and all that. You know, it's just been all of my family. They struggled with it. Well, can I tell you this today? The struggling can stop with you. You don't have to continue that struggle. You can trust God. God is not going to be angry with you because you have questions. I believe God takes pleasure in it because it means now that you want to know more about him. And so as the praise team come, I just want you all to know that we as a pastoral staff, we as a staff, we're really committed to equipping you to be all that God has called you to be. We're committed to it. And sometimes it's going to be tough. You're going to have to sometimes look in the mirror and ask yourself some really hard questions. But can I tell you this? God knows that we have questions and doubts because we can't always see the big picture like he does. That's why one of the most repeated statements in the Bible is to trust and do not fear. So in those times when you're struggling, trust, but do not fear. God is not angry at you. God is not mad at you. Actually, he wants your questions so that you can come closer to him. And so, let's use our doubts, our discouragement, and our unbelief to pursue more of Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to the throne of grace today. God, we just thank you for who you are. God, we thank you for this word today, God. God, as we looked at the character of John the Baptist, as he found himself, God, in unfamiliar territory, God, as he found himself in an environment that he was unfamiliar with, God, as he sat alone, God, wrestling with these horrible thoughts, God. God, I know we are the same way at times. When you've called us to a place of uncomfortableness, when you called us out of our comfort zones, and we don't understand why you called us out of our comfort, God, and you put us in unfamiliar territory, God. I pray, God, that when we have these questions, God, that we know, God, that we can boldly come to the throne of grace, God, with our questions. Why? Because, God, nothing catches you by surprise, and you're God, and we're not. And so, God, I just thank you for this word today. I hope it's comforting to us, God, that we walk away today knowing, God, that we can come to you. We don't have to be ashamed. We don't have to feel shameful, God, or embarrassed that we have questions. And so, God, I just thank you for the freedom that we're going to find after this sermon today, God. The renewed sense of joy, the renewed sense of completeness, the renewed sense of comfort. Because we know, God, that we can come to you with your question, with our questions. And God, that you're going to affirm us, God, just like you affirmed John, that we're on the right track. We're doing what you called us to do. We just have to continue to trust you and to know that we're in the safest place, and that's in the hollow of your hands. And so, God, I just thank you for everything that you're going to do in our lives. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for coming in and rest, ruling, reigning today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.